We talked about fellowship. I want to talk about prophetic insight. And trust it'll be a blessing to you. If it's not, you can always buy a book or read the Bible and or get a tape from somewhere else. Hallelujah. And one of the things that we need to do when dealing with any subject in the Word of God is to know the big picture and then break it down. Did you hear what I just said? You have the big picture and then break it down for your understanding. You see, a cow can't eat the cow all at once. I have to cut it down in pieces so that it's easy to process and easy to consume. And the prophetic ministry and prophetic word is a huge subject, but it's a pillar of our church. And we want to look at it, and we want to look at it in simplicity and simpleness so that you can understand it. And we need to look at the big picture for us to be able to handle that. And the big picture is Jesus at the center of it all. Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you understand that the big picture is Him, then it is easy for us to process, because many times we have weird and wonderful ideas about the prophetic. And sometimes all kinds of people get into it, even without an anointing. Are you okay? You can't make yourself a prophet. You have to be called a prophet by the Lord. And it is an anointing, it's a calling. But I want to disentangle some things for you, because sometimes we concentrate on the part at the expense of the whole. And nothing is more likely to lead to deception as to major on a part at the expense of the whole. And we've had a lot of parts, and there's nothing wrong with having parts. But you can major on the spark plug, but the spark plug is not the car. You can major on the carburetor, but the carburetor is not the car. You can major on the tire, but the tire is not the car. Every one of those things come together so that you can get in the car and move on. And fellowship is a part, and the prophetic is a part, and we've had parts, and sometimes we emphasize the part to the extreme as though the part is the whole thing. Are you all right? We've had seminars on spark plugs. We've had seminars on tires, but none of them is the car. And we need to look at the whole picture and then look at the part so that we can understand. And the whole picture is one Jesus Christ, Lord Advocate General of the church. And when we understand that, the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You read your Bible? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Are you all right? Hallelujah. So, there is a part that's going on in the church today. And unfortunately, a lot of people think this is the answer. No, none of the parts is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Like they had a classroom one time in Australia, and an apostle came in and climbed up the side of the classroom, the side of the wall, and teacher said, "What is that?" And young boy said, "I know that the answer is Jesus, but I think that's a possum." And that's sad sometimes, because we don't know the whole picture, and we major on parts sometimes, and we miss out on the whole picture. And the part that the church is majoring in right now is leadership. And everywhere you go on the planet, leadership, 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 leadership. We teach leaders to be leaders, to be leaders, to be leaders, to be leaders of leaders, and nobody ever gets the work done. Are you okay? And you go to Australia, it's leadership. You go to England, it's leadership. You go to the Philippines, it's leadership. You go to New Zealand, it's leadership. Leadership is a part. The whole is Christ. And leadership is great, but sometimes we major on parts. Hosanna in the highest. Hallelujah. Amen? So let's have a look at this, because we need to understand what that is. In the Old Testament, there were three major offices in the Old Testament. There was the office of the priest, the prophet, and the king. But every one of those looked forward to the one that was coming, whose name is Christ, and the whole volume of the book is about Jesus. The two men that went to Emmaus and Jesus joined them, and he began to teach them from the whole book regarding who he was. And they asked that question, are you the only one around? Well, the only one around that don't know what's going on, the only one around that knew what was going on was the one that was talking to them. And he was talking to them from the law, the prophets, the Psalms, and he's speaking of himself. Hallelujah. Now, when we come to the New Testament, those three offices are all clouded. Well, the prophetic office is more clouded than the other. Because when you come to the New Testament, we are a kingdom of priests. Talk to me. Talk to me. The kingdom of priests. Now, can you imagine a kingdom where everyone is a priest? Can you imagine that? Like going into a nation where everyone is a musician. They're nothing else but music. Now, can you imagine entering a kingdom where every citizen of the kingdom is a priest? And prophesied from Exodus, and Peter picked it up, and God said, I'm going to make you kings and priests unto me. The whole earth is mine. And that's an amazing. The whole earth belongs to Jehovah. Doesn't belong to the devil. The devil did not create the planet. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. Belongs to God. And God said, even though the whole world is mine, I have made you unto me a holy nation, a kingdom of priests, and you're going to be kings and priests unto me. So when we come to the New Testament, we see this kings and priests unto God. But we don't see this prophets. Seems to be disappear somewhere. You're very quiet. What happened to the prophetic office of the Old Testament? Because now we still have kings and priests, but what happened to the prophets? Are you okay? And when they spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues, and Peter got up and said, this was prophesied by Joel. But if you study Joel, Joel never said anything about tongues. So what was he talking about? Huh? But Joel said things about the prophetic. That your sons and daughters will... Now you get a boy prophesy the Old Testament, cut his head off. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your maidservants and your manservants will hear from God. Now that's blasphemous in the Old Testament. But Paul said something very curious in 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's verse 30 or 31, that you can all, you can all prophesy. No. All right? So we are all kings, we are all priests, and we all can prophesy. So we are all prophets in that sense. Are you okay? So anyone can prophesy in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, only the prophet can prophesy. Now that's an amazing thing, because many of us get ourselves confused because we think that the New Testament prophet should be the same as the Old Testament prophet. It's not. Now let me give you an illustration. You know, somebody will say, I sense God is saying this. Or I get this picture. I believe God is saying this. Now you say that in the Old Testament, they'll just kill you. Can you imagine Noah saying, I sense God is going to send a flood, and I think he's telling me to build an ark. Well, that just does not go. Why? Because in the Old Testament, the Bible says, I will put my words in your mouth, and you will speak my words, not your words. And when the Old Testament prophet prophesied, he prophesied to the future and prophesied to things that are happening, and it was 100% accurate. If it's not 100% accurate, they kill him. In the New Testament, if you're thinking that a prophecy in the New Testament is going to be 100%, there'll be nobody left in the church. Now, why is that? Now, let me ask you a question. Do we still bring calves and cows into the church because we are priests? No. Why not? Huh? Now, how come we're intelligent in other things and stupid in others? Are you all right? So, in the Old Testament, the prophet who stands doesn't speak his words unless he blatantly disobeys God. What he says is 100% what God says to him. And when the king said to Balaam, I said, prophesy something different. Balaam said, he's put a word in my mouth and I can't change it. I can't change it. That's not the same as the New Testament. Hello? Now, a lot of people say, well, her prophecy was not 100% accurate. Did you know you don't judge a prophet by their prophecy in the New Testament? You know what Jesus said? Oh, these prophets will come, you know, prophesy this, prophesy that. And you know what he said? You shall know them by their fruits. You don't know them by the accuracy 100% of their prophecy, even though it'll be good if it's correct. But no prophecy in the New Testament is 100%. We prophesy in parts. We know in parts. We prophesy in parts. One day we will know as we are known. Until that day, we still just prophesy in parts. Because God has not given the revelation of who He is to any one man, one church, one movement. It's the way of God protecting His sovereignty. And that's why in the New Testament, the Bible says, when a prophet prophesies, let the other prophets discern what he's saying to see if it's accurate or not. So in the New Testament, we discern what he's saying. In the Old Testament, you just don't discern what he says. What he says is what God says.
I thought I'll cut it down so that make it simple, okay? Now, in the Old Testament, the prophet lives away from the people. And when he comes, that's why when Samuel comes, everybody, oh, he's here. And everybody just behave. Because the man of God has come to town. And every Old Testament prophecy, most always, almost 99.9% was for judgment. God will judge. In the New Testament, it's exhortation, edification, and comfort. We have a better covenant established on better promises. We don't know that because we want to be Old Testament prophets. Well, die and go back to the Old Testament. Are you all right? And when you understand that everything is about Christ, then it is easier to dissect some of the things that we have difficulty with. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And then we can break them down and understand what God is trying to say. Now, sometimes the prophetic can come through questions. You ask a question and something prophetic happens. Sometimes you act out, as in the Old Testament, the prophets will act out a prophecy. You don't like the way they acted out some prophecies. Because Isaiah walked naked for 3 years to act out a prophecy. You want this rope, Mr. Northover? No. Why? Because we'll put him away. But they act out prophecies in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we do that. We have prophetic pictures. We have prophetic impressions in the New Testament. And sometimes you can ask questions that are prophetic. A friend of mine went to another country and he said to this young man, said, what happens when so-and-so in New Zealand asks you to come back and pastor that church? And he said, what? There's no way on God's green earth they're going to get me back to New Zealand. Well, he's back in New Zealand now pastoring the church. And what are you going to do when you get back there? Now, those two questions were prophetic questions. Now, he did not know he was prophesying, but there are things that happen without your knowing, and God still does things. We spoke at a church in Auckland, I did not know what was happening in the church, and I spoke from the woman at the well and the five husbands, and then spoke from Elijah and saw the hand of a man with five fingers. And we distributed the emblems of communion. I made an altar call. The whole church came to the altar, but for the visitors, there was about three or four visitors that came, but the everyone in the church, including the kids, came to the altar. So I just preaching, and then we distributed the emblems, and there were five glasses left. And I said, I want five deacons to come and stand here. And five of them came and stood there. I said, take the glass each. And they took the glass each. I said, from this day forward, don't ever forget this day. And they took, we had communion, and that was all right. There were a lot of tears, and I dismissed the service. We went out the door, and my wife was going out, and a lady grabbed her and said, how did your husband know? Know what? Know what's happening in our church? And she said, I can assure you, my husband will not even know what's happening in your church. He's just doing what God told him to do. Well, those five deacons were going to oust the pastor. And the pastor was away overseas at a conference. And these guys call a meeting of the whole membership of the church to kick the pastor out. And on that morning, now, I didn't point them out to come and sit in the front. And I said, five deacons come, and the very one that I said, take the glass, don't ever forget this day. Now, I did not know that. I just said what I felt God was saying to me, and then went out. That church is still there today, going well. The man that they were going to oust is still in the church. He's still the pastor of the church. Now, that's a prophetic act. And sometimes you do these things, not because, well, God turned up. In the Old Testament, many times, you know, God did great things in the New Testament. You know, you get impressed. You might get angelic visitation. You might get a vision at night and things like that. And all that part of, you know, of the whole picture of prophecy. Hallelujah. But we prophesy in parts. And we know in parts. One day we will know the whole thing. Are you okay? It's the same in priesthood. I mean, Jacob is a priest. So is Asher. So is Tony. Anyone can be a priest, but there are still priests, quote unquote, in the clergy. So when you come to church, there is still a pastor. He's a priest. But everybody is a priest. You can go to God direct. You don't need to bring your sacrifice to me. And I offer your sacrifice to God. And if you give me a ring, pray for me. I will. But you can pray yourself. That doesn't mean that you can't call the elder. The Bible says, if is anyone sick, call for the elders of the church. That means you have to be in a church, because you can't call for the elders of a church that you don't go to, because you don't know the elders of the church. How can you call the elders of the church when you don't go to church? You can't ring up, hello? Who's that? Oh, this is Joel Osteen. Well, Joel, can you send the elders of the church to pray for me? Who are you? Where do you live? Are you all right? Go to a church where you are. You can't just make the television ministry your church, because you can't call the elders of the television ministry. You have to belong to a church. Are you okay? Hallelujah. Now, Jesus was a prophet. He said he was a prophet. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. So he called himself a prophet. When he came to the well at Samaria, the woman said, I perceive you're a prophet. Well, she was exactly correct. Hallelujah. And Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is apostle and high priest of our faith. He's an evangelist. He's a teacher. Call himself teacher. People call him rabbi. Hallelujah. He was a shepherd. He was a pastor. So you got one Christ, five offices. One whole thing. Break it up. Break it down. And the prophet's ministry in the New Testament, the prophetic ministry, is part of Christ's ministry for the perfecting of the saints, so the saints can do the ministry. You're not perfected through the ministry of just the pastor. The pastor does not know everything. And the pastor is not anointed to know everything. Otherwise, you ought to be following him, and he becomes the Messiah. Nobody knows everything. Only Christ knows everything. Hallelujah. And the whole is him. He's the fountainhead of all ministry. And when he went to heaven, he sent down his spirit and he distributed. He broke it down in parts, and everyone has an anointing that dwells in them. But you don't have the Holy Spirit in the sense that this is all the Holy Spirit and it's on you. Well, you can't carry that. That's why you fall down under the power. And you just fall down because you can't stand up. Why? Because his glory is a weight. Exceeding weight of glory. And people just fall down. Oh, is there somebody pushing them? Are you all right? So when Jesus came to the well in Samaria, and the woman came, and, And Jesus said, yeah, you've had five husbands. And I was just living with a man. So you've had six men. And then met the seventh man. Five husbands. She met five of them in one day at the well. Met the sixth man who was a man. Then met the seventh man who was God. But he met the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. All at once. Take the place of her five husbands. Are you okay? We'll carry on next time we get together.